tonight, I ask you to turn with me to Romans chapter number 12. And we're going to begin reading in verse number 6. And I want to give you a few things that you've been gifted with, and I thank God for that tonight. And I always believe in my heart, anytime the word has been broke open, we must give God the thanks and what he's done in our life. Man, I'm telling you what, this weekend we was on that trip up there in Roanoke. Man, it was a great spirit, Brother Brent. Man, I'm talking about the fire of God was there. But, man, I'm telling you what, and man, everybody done a great job. Man, I was proud of everybody that was there doing what they're supposed to do. But I want to tell y'all something. As a pastor, my heart was over flooding when I seen our folk up there on top of that roof doing what they were supposed to do. And then, man, when we sat down and broke bread, our men brought some word there that, I'm telling you what, top notch. I mean, God just moved on them and moved on my heart, and I thank God for that. And Brother Jerry Gabby, when he got done, I was going to say something, and I didn't say anything. And I sat there, and it went around the room probably, I don't know, 10 people, 9 people, may have been only 4 people. I don't know. It felt like 100. But there wasn't 100 there, so I know it wasn't that long, but I thought I ain't never going to get back. And then Sister Stephanie says, and all she said, I don't even know what she says. All I know she said is, hey, there's room for everybody. There's just room for everybody. When you don't think there's nothing you can do, there's room for everybody. And man, I tell you what, that just spoke volumes to my heart. And I thank God that there is room for everybody. Amen. Romans chapter number 12 and verse number 6. I ask you to please stand as we reverence the reading of God's word tonight. And the Bible says in Romans chapter number 12, I thank God in verse number 6. Having then gifts deferring according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the portion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, and he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligency, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness, let love be without dissimulation, harbor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Our Father and our God, as we bow in your presence tonight, I thank God tonight that you are God. I thank you tonight what you do in this local body. I thank you tonight what you do in my body, in my soul, and in my spirit, and how you can revive, and how you can make all things new, and how you can refresh us, and you give us the fruit of your word, Father. Lord, I thank you for that tonight, and I pray tonight that you bless this word for the next few moments and it go forth and minister to the hearers. Lord, I ask you tonight to guard my throat and guard my thoughts. And Lord, tonight, anything I need to forget, let me forget. And what I need to remember, bring it to my remembrance. Lord, I thank you tonight for this local body. I lift them up to you. I pray you bless them real good tonight. I be careful to give you the honor, the praise, and the glory. In Jesus' most holy, precious name, all of God's people say it. Amen. You may be seated tonight. I thank God. And as we come tonight, we read last week in Romans 12 how that we are conformed and how we're transformed into something new. And we're not conformed to this world, but we've been transformed. The Word of God shows us and it teaches us that when we become a follower, we receive all different kind of gifts. Did you know tonight? I want to start off with, I thank God, number one, that He has given us the gift of salvation tonight. You will not receive any other gift that He has available until you receive that gift of salvation. You say, preacher, why tonight to a crowd like this that probably everybody in this room has made a profession that Jesus Christ is their Lord and Savior? Why would you bring a message like that tonight? But so you don't sell out and you remember about that gift that God's given you in your life and how special that gift is. And tonight, that gift of salvation tonight, I thank God for that. I want to say with you a few things there before we get on into the Word. The gift of salvation tonight, can I say to you, that salvation that you have living inside of you, it is an expensive gift tonight. It is a very expensive gift. You say, preacher, how expensive is it? We were laying in our room the other night, not in the same bed. Brother Eric was in one bed and I was in the other bed, bunk beds. Amen. Come on now, get live with me now. This morning we weren't very lively, but tonight we family now. Get lively with me. So we were in there and I'm talking about an expensive gift, and I asked Brother Eric, I said, man, what you got going on this weekend? And he said, man, Saturday is Tanya's birthday. And I said, man, is it Saturday going to be her birthday? And he said, yeah. I said, what you going to get her? He said, man, I ain't getting her nothing. She's got all this. And I said, man, what are you talking about? He said, man, she's got all this. Why would she want anything else? Why would she want a different gift? And I said, man, we better drop $2,000 on the way home. If that's all she's going to get, we better drop at least $2,000. And you say, preacher, what were you talking about? I'm talking about how expensive gifts are. When a gift is very special to you, you can't put money on it. You can't put material on it. It's an expensive gift. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That is a very expensive gift. When you look at that and you look at the cross of Calvary and how that Jesus bled and died, how expensive that gift is. I'm asking you tonight, what do you do with your salvation gift tonight? I thank God for that salvation gift tonight. But can I say to you, not only is it an expensive gift, but it is an essential gift tonight. Hey, for you to leave this world and go to the glory world, not only is it expensive, but it's essential. You must have the gift of salvation living inside of you. You must know tonight that you're saved, washed in the blood of Jesus tonight. I thank God tonight that I don't have to wonder and I don't have to worry when I leave this walk of life where I'm going to go. As I sat there this week and I thought how expensive it was that he paid the price on Calvary, but how essential that gift is. The Bible said in Ephesians 2:8, for by grace, not nothing you've done, not nothing I've done, but for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, but it is a gift of God. Man, he has gifted you that gift. As we went this week and we went into that place, man, I tell you, my heart was just so full on them evenings as the words was given out. That gift of salvation, I could see it living in all of our folk that went. That expensive gift, that essential gift. But can I say to you, it is an eternal gift for you as well. Not only is it expensive and it's essential, but it is an eternal gift. Look at this, if you will, with me in Romans chapter number 6. In verse number 23, I want to show you how this gift is eternal tonight, how it is in your life tonight, that gift. I thank God for the gift of salvation, don't you? I thank God for that gift of salvation. If a lost man walked in tonight, I'd hope he'd know we'd talk about salvation in this place. Amen? That's an expensive gift. It's essential. You've got to have it. But also, it's an eternal gift. Tonight, this gift that's been given to you and it's been given to I, it's an eternal gift. And tonight, if you'll look with Romans chapter number 6 and verse number 23, the Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. Everybody under the sound of my voice and everybody that ever will be born has been born a sinner. They have been born a sinner and they need a Savior. They need somebody to rescue them. Can I say they don't need somebody? They need Jesus to rescue them out of that in their life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift, there's that gift of salvation I thank God for. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So tonight I thank God for that gift of salvation. It's expensive, it's essential, and it's eternal. But I also thank God for the gift of the Spirit tonight, don't you? I thank God tonight for the gift of the Spirit. I thank God tonight when the Spirit of God sits down in this place and sits down on my life and it sits down on your life. I thank God for that tonight. He said that we all has these gifts. But for you to receive the other gift that I'm going to talk about in just a moment, number one, you've got to have the gift of salvation. You've got to know that you're saved to have that gift in your life. Number two is the gift of the Spirit. You know, tonight as a Baptist church, a lot of churches don't believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. A lot of folks don't. But here's what John said about Jesus. He said, I baptize thee with water, but there's one coming after me that's going to baptize you in the Holy Ghost. He's going to baptize you with fire, and you're going to know that. You know how you know somebody's been born again? Man, that fire is going to come up inside of them. Amen? It can't stay suppressed. It can't stay down. That is going to have to come up in their life. I see the gift of salvation, but also see the gift of Spirit. And I thank God for that tonight. Turn with me, if you will, just one page over in my Bible to Romans chapter 15 and verse number 30. The gift of salvation, but also the gift of the Spirit tonight. I thank God tonight that I can't be saved without the Spirit of God. You cannot be saved without the Spirit of God. And when you get saved, if you're like me, I didn't understand that Spirit very well. I just knew He drew me. He drew me to God, and I gave my life to God. I called on the name of the Lord, and that Spirit drew me. But now that Spirit's my best friend. He guides me when I need guidance. He leads me when I need leading. He shows me when I need show. He lets me hear what I need to hear. He brings things alive in my life. Doesn't he do that in your life? That Spirit would do it. You know what, tonight, if you got something going on in your life and you don't know whether to do it or not do it, judge it by the Spirit. Judge all things by the Spirit. Don't judge it by your heart. Don't judge it by your mental capacity. Judge it by the Spirit. Have you ever went to do something and you couldn't tell if it was right or wrong and it didn't feel good, but you can make it feel right? If it can't never feel right, don't do it, because that Spirit's warring on the inside and it's telling you to get away from that. So I see the gift of the Spirit. Look with me in Romans 15:30. Here's what he said. Here now beseech ye, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit. That Spirit will love on ye, that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me, that I may be delivered to them that do not believe in Judea, and that my service which I have in Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints, that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, and may with you be refreshed. When we come into this place, you know what we need? We need joy, amen? And what's that joy going to do? It's going to refresh us. It's going to make us new. It's going to make all things better. So I see the gift of salvation. I see the gift of the Spirit. You say, preacher, what does that Spirit need to be done in our life? Number one, it's been sent to you. John 16:7, if you'll turn with me there. John 16:7, that Spirit has been sent to you and it's been sent to me. Then Jesus Christ is the one that sent him to you and he sent him to me. The gift of salvation, but the gift of the Spirit. John 16:7, here's what it says. In John 16:7, the Bible says, and Jesus says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. I say to you tonight, that Spirit, you ought to thank God for that Spirit in your life, because it's been sent to you. That Spirit has been sent to you personally from heaven above. He has been sent to minister you, work on you, help you, save you when it's time for to be saved. The Holy Spirit is sent, but also the Holy Spirit must be stirred in a believer's life. It must be stirred in a believer's life. Now I'm going to ask you something. Have you ever cooked any jambalaya or anything at home on the stove? Yes. Have you ever cooked anything and it said stir? What happens if you don't stir? It sticks. It burns. It don't get all where it needs to be. So when you don't stir that Spirit, you may stick on one side, burn on the other, and it's not fit to what it needs to do. But listen to me tonight. When you stir that Spirit, you let that Spirit, you say, how does that Spirit get stirred like this right here tonight? With believers with like minds, stirring that Spirit, going on men's trips, going on women's trips, going together. You're stirring that Spirit. It's contagious when you get stirring that Spirit. Nobody wants anything's burnt or stuck, but you know what they want? They want something that's been stirred and it's been right. Amen? When that thing has been stirred inside of you. And this week, Brother Brad, it stirred inside of me the other day. It just stirred me up, man, what God's doing in this local body, what God's doing in here. And as we got bragging on this church, and they said, hey, and we walked in there, and the numbers on their wall is the same as ours used to be. Their offering on their wall is the same as ours used to be. And I went in there with Brother Brent. He took me in there, glory to God, and you stirred my spirit when we walked in that room. And I said, look there, son. Hey, we ought to thank God that we're not where we used to be. We ought to thank God that he's on the throne. We ought to thank God that he stirred that spirit and he's moving in that local body. Man, I'm telling you, it just got me stirred up. There's nothing wrong with what's going on at that church, but listen to me. We serve a big old God, amen? And when you get stirred in that spirit and you allow it to stir in you, it'll move things in your life. Man, I seen that when we went out there. They were begging us, hey, we need to set up a tent and do a revival up here. And all it was just men and women of God on fire for God going into a place. You won't believe what that church needed when y'all went up there this week and stirred that spirit just a little bit. Mission trip coming in July. You know what's going to happen when you go there? That spirit is going to be stirred a little bit. You know what happens on Awareness Night next Wednesday? That spirit going to be stirred just a little bit. And the more you get around people of God, the more that spirit will be stirred. Let me go on here. The Holy Spirit sent. The Holy Spirit is supposed to be stirred. 2 Timothy, let me give you the verse. Verse 1 and verse number 6. Chapter number 1, verse number 6. 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy 1, 6. Chapter 1, verse 6. And here's what he said. That gift of salvation and that gift of the Spirit is sent, and it should be stirred. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee. He wants you to stir that spirit by what? By the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. 2 Timothy 1:6-7. He wants you to stir that spirit as he lives inside of you. I see the Holy Spirit is sent. I see the Holy Spirit is stirred. But I see the Holy Spirit is your sealer tonight. Is your sealer tonight. The more you allow the Spirit of God to minister to your life, the more you'll realize you're sealed in Christ Jesus. The more you allow that Spirit to stir, the more you'll realize it still is sealed. Ephesians 1:13 tonight, if you'll turn with me there. Ephesians chapter number 1 and verse number 13. I know I'm giving you a lot of information, but I want to give you this tonight. Ephesians 1 and verse number 13 tonight. I see that the Spirit is sent. I see that the Spirit is stirred. I see it's my seal tonight, my seal of promise. Ephesians 1:13, and here's what the Bible says. Ephesians 1:13, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. He said you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. All right, let me give you this. I thank God, number one, I'm saved. I thank God, number two, that the Spirit lives inside of me. He lives inside of you. And that Spirit is sent to me. It can be stirred. It can be sealed. And man, I'm telling you what, it does a heart good when you stir up that Spirit. When you stir up that Spirit. The other night, we was in Awanas having a pep rally. And Brother Garrett, Brother Connor, girl sitting beside him. She's Adams. I can't get her first name. Adams good enough, right? They got up here and they started singing a song, pump that Jesus Spirit up or something like that. You remember that? Why? Because you want to stir it. And when you realize you're saved and that Spirit gets to stirring in your life, you'll realize that he has saved you for a service. The third point is there's a service I thank God for that he's called me to and he's called you to. And I want to go over these here just briefly in Romans, and you see what service you've been called to. Do you know preaching ain't the only service? Amen? Ministering inside the church is not the only service. Ministering outside the church is a service as well. Doing things inside the church is not only a service, but doing things outside the church. So I want to show you this, if you will, with me for just a moment. I see the gift of salvation, the gift of the Spirit, and the gift of service tonight. Look what he says. So we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. And here's where he starts his list. He said, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the portion of faith. Prophecy is this tonight. It is when you proclaim the truth of the Word of God. It's when you stand up and you proclaim that word of truth, that the word of God at truth, and it helps someone. You're proclaiming that word of God over them. You're helping them in situations in their life. You're prophesying over them. You're helping them. You're encouraging them. And you're giving them the word of God. He said that prophecy, but also in verse number 7, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Now, when you've been called to the ministry, there's a time of waiting there. He says, let us wait on that ministry that comes. You say, what is ministry tonight, preacher? Ministry is this. This is when a person looks for needs to help fulfill in other people. It's when you get an opportunity to minister somebody in need and you get to minister to that need that is in their life. This ain't only ministry here, but I want you to know it's ministry when you see anybody in a need and you have the opportunity to minister to that need and help them in the name of Jesus Christ. I see tonight that not only do we get to prophesy the word of God over people and help them, but we get to minister to them as well. Let me give you the third one here tonight. He said, not only do we have prophecy, not only do we have ministry, but look at the next thing. Or he that teacheth on teaching. And here's what teaching is tonight. Teaching is simple tonight, but we complicate it so much. Teaching is only this. This gift makes the word of God understandable. Understandable. I have, and you have too. I've heard people preach and teach that I can't get it. I've been places I've been like, whoo, Was a good word, wasn't it? That was a good word. He wailed my head. I'd rather have somebody way low that every kid in the church can understand it and I can get a hold of it. And somebody way up here. Listen, that's good for some people. Then them folks that are way up here, Brother J.D., you know what I'm saying? Them folks that are way up here, Sister Kim, and way up here, Brother Brent. That's good for them folks up there. But for some of us, as myself, you need to get it down here so I can get a hold of it. You need to get it down here where everybody can get a hold of it. And he said, teaching is basically this, taking the Word of God, and you teach folks that they understand it, that they understand what they need. When we go on a mission trip, Brother David could say, go get me mortar mix, and he could lay it all out there, the word for that. But instead, he don't say that. You know what he says? Just go get me mud. Everybody on that trip knows what mud is. He could say, go get me masonry, this and that, but he don't. He said, go get me a trowel. I said, what's a trowel? He said, it's going to be pointed like this, going to have a handle on the end. Puts it on my level where I can understand it. Him being the leader over that trip, if he tried to use every word, the specific word, how would we get it? But he puts it down on our level. Can I say to you tonight, when some of you are teaching somebody something, just teach them what you know. Just teach them how God loved you, how he saved you, he sent his spirit, and he sent you out to serve. That's all you need to know tonight, that he has sent you out to serve. So tonight we see we got prophecy, we got ministry, we got teaching, and then another one here is exhorting. He said this, he said to exhort tonight, and I want to give you this tonight as he said to exhort. Or he that exhorteth on exhortation. To exhort tonight is to call near or to promote spiritual growth and giving the lost world the gospel tonight. You're exhorting, you're uplifting, you're bringing people up. You're exhorting them to know the call of God and what God's wanting to do in their life. Just as salvation, just as the Spirit, and just as service. But another one tonight is this, and if you look down through there, it's not only exhortation, but he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity tonight. That's very simple. Him that giveth, a person would make a wise investment, aware of the needs of others, and has the right motive when he gives. He knows he has the opportunity to give. He can help that person, and he can give it. And he can give it at the right time and the right opportunity. There's sometimes I go into a home, you go into a home, we go into a place. I know at that moment it's not right to break the bread and try to give them salvation. That's the last thing on their mind. Pray with them. Build that bridge. Build what you need. Build what you need to get to be able to minister to that person, to exhort that person, to lift them up. Here a little, there a little. It ain't always, you can't always go in that way. You have to minister. You have to lead. You have to lead that person and help them. Let me give you another one tonight. Not only giving, but he says here, he that ruleth, let him rule with diligence. Ruleth means this. It's a gift of planning ahead and delegates to reach a goal. Plan ahead and delegate to reach a goal. Not everybody has that gift. Trust me. Not everybody has that gift to be able to delegate that out, see that the person does it, see that they do it well. When you find somebody that is able, that you can delegate something to them and you don't have to worry about if they're going to get it done, that person has a gift on their life. So-and-so's done it in that church for 30 years because that so-and-so is faithful. So-and-so you can count on. Why do they always get it? Because they're always faithful, they always count on it, and they always get the job done, and they're good at what they do in Christ Jesus. You can't give everybody always the same service because they're not fit for that. You know what the first thing we want to do is put a committee together and say, I'll tell you what, I think so-and-so will be good at that. And that ain't even a gift on their life. We're putting them in a position, putting them in a place, and that ain't even a gift they got. Wanting them to minister and wanting them to serve and wanting them to do, but you got to find where they're able to serve. I've had men of this church that's told me time and time again, and I respect them for this. They say, that's not my gift, and I know it's not. But if you'll give me this, that's my gift, and I promise you I'll take care of that gift. I've had ladies in this church tell me, listen, Brother BJ, that right there is not my gift, but I'm willing to serve, I'm willing to work, all you got, but here's what I know God's gifted me to do. And they'll take that gift, and they'll use it to the honor and glory of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But you take somebody, listen to me tonight, you're the core tonight, so let me give you this. You take somebody, and you put them in a position that they're not called to be in, they'll be burdened to death. They have no peace, they have no rest, they have no comfort in what they're doing because they're doing something outside of their gifting. They're not gifted to be in that position. They're not gifted to have that position. And you give them a position that they're not gifted to have and they're not gifted to do. But you take that same person and you put them where God would have them to be, and I'm telling you what, you'll see them start having joy. They'll start having peace. They'll be glad at what they're doing for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen? You know that. Have you ever done something? And do not raise your hand. You've been given a task that you didn't want to do here. You did it just sort of to get fulfilled, but it wasn't good. Listen, if we got to do it just to get it filled, we don't need that position. If we got to do it just to get it fulfilled, we don't need that. Because that ain't the way God works it. He's equipped this church for every position that needs to be filled. And he knows who's qualified to fill that position. Let me move on with you here as we're getting on down to the end. Okay, one that ruleth, and then we got the last one there is he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Mercy is this. It's comfort someone or to help tote burdens. When you show mercy, it is when you comfort someone or you help them tote burdens. Tonight, I thank God, number one, for my salvation. Tonight, number two, I thank God for the Spirit. And number three, I thank God for the service that He's put on my life. I don't know about you tonight, where you're at tonight, or what you've got going on, but you ought to be able to say, I thank God tonight, and that's why I'm not selling out. That's why I'm going to stick with the stuff. Let Him take care of my life. Let Him do exactly what He wants to do in my life. I told him the other night, I told Brother Brent, me and him were standing up there at the top of the hill watching other men's work. We was giving them what they needed. I mean, I wasn't mad Brother Kevin's on the top of the roof. Hey, I mean, he's like a monkey. Let him have it, son. I mean, he does good at what he does. And other men in here, Brother Jerry Gabby, he does good at, I mean, they just do what they do. And me and Brother Brent were standing there, and I told Brother Brent, I said, this working right here, doing this right here, this ain't for me. I don't get up on top. Just don't do it. And they'll aggravate you a little bit, you know what I'm saying? I took a hammer that's a little shorter than normal. And they said, that's Brandy's hammer. And they ragged me all weekend about wearing Brandy's hammer on my side. That's okay, though. It's okay. And I know that. But I know what my job was for being there. And God allowed me to do what He called me to do. You see, I didn't try to get on that roof and get somewhere that was uncomfortable and get in the way. I didn't try to get in the scissor lift, but one time, didn't know how to back it up. They was all hollering, what are you doing? I said, he's on air hose, and I got to get it out somehow. I can't pick it up. They was all screaming at me. I was like, listen, I'm not going to tear nothing up. Just tell me how to back up a little bit. Calm down just a little bit, fellas. Come on, man. That wasn't none of our bunch, by the way. You know, they don't get carried away. But see, I know where my spot was. I know where my, Brother Riley, I knew where my spot was. When Brother Jerry Gabby come off that roof and his feet was hurting him and he was a little red-faced. That was one of mine. Wanted to check on him. When Brother Kevin needed something out of his truck, when we throw it up to him, he's one of mine. I wanted to check on him. I said, preacher, is that your job? That's my job. That's my job to delegate this stuff out. Brother Brent led that group. I didn't step over him when I was there. I just followed right in behind him, sat there and squalled like a baby. Delegate that out. Delegate that out. Let God work it. Let God move on it. You say, preacher, did you have a good time? Man, I was happy as I could be sitting there. Tonight, just thank God for your salvation, for your service, and for that Spirit that stirs you. You say, preacher, is there any room for me? I guarantee you there's room for you. We got a new build coming up, and it's not going to be long. It's not going to be long at all. It's coming. It's coming. And we're going to need your service. You say, preacher, I don't know what I can do over there. I ain't never, listen, throwing the water here and there works a lot. They ain't got to come down and get it. That works a lot. That's a service that you'd be surprised. Being there so they can pick on you, that's a big plus. Hey, some of these old boys right here, if they don't pick on me, I think they're mad at me. Hey, Brother Lee Markham, don't give me the stink eye. I know, man, something ain't right. You know what I'm saying? I look for that. Other people says he's mad. No, I look for that. You know what I'm saying? Brother David Bourne gets red-faced. I look for that. I've been around these guys. I look for that stuff. I look for it. And I say, man, it's going in the right direction. I look for that. I want to encourage you right here. You is who God has chose at this time to build that building. You is who God has chosen at this time to build that building for the next generation. And we need all hands we can take when that time comes. I can't promise you won't get tired, and I can't promise you won't get weary. But I promise you this, that God will meet every need in your life when you're doing the service that He's called you to do. Tonight my prayer is this, that you can say, I thank God I'm saved. I thank God that the Spirit just dwells inside of me so, so richly. And I just want to serve Him the rest of my days. Amen. Let's gather around this room tonight and ask God just to move on this new